Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome. Great to have you with us. Notre Dame last night blown out by Alabama. Kevin asked me whether if they played the game in December, like December 7th or whatever.
Yeah, the end of the regular season, not giving Alabama a chance to be
100%. The result would have been the same. Again, what I go back to, and this is something I've talked about repeatedly, for years, Notre Dame does not have the caliber of athlete position by position that you see at some schools. They don't. They don't have the athletes to match up with Oregon. They don't have the athletes to match up with Alabama. They did a great job against Oklahoma. That was a tremendous win. It turned out to be the best win of the year for them. They struggled against Michigan State when Michigan State was struggling. They struggled against Michigan when Michigan was struggling. Right, USC had a bad year this year. They should have lost to Pitt. I mean, Pitt blew that game. And Stanford, I'm still not convinced he didn't get in. I think that one was fouled up top of the booth. Teams moved between the 20s against Notre Dame all season, where Notre Dame was absolutely superior this year. Was their red zone defense. Last night, Alabama torched that red zone defense. I mean, they crushed it. It looked like a steamroller going over a grape. But I don't know what the game plan was last night. I mean, who came up with the idea that we'll attack D. Milner? Who came up with that ingenious plan? I mean, I've seen Alabama twice in person in 10 and 11, and I've watched D. Milner in person in two games. Jack Ham and I walked out of the booth every time completely impressed with five players. Okay? The five players we were always completely impressed with were Dre Kirkpatrick, Dante Hightower, who's first round pick of the Patriots, Courtney Upshaw, okay? CJ Mosley. And I told you, how often did I say during the season I thought Mosley was a better linebacker than Manti Te'o?
Every time we mentioned it.
Yep. And again, I'm not putting down Manti Te'o. Manti Te'o is a wonderful linebacker and is a wonderful inspiration. Please. So don't go, hey, oh, what are you killing? No. But if you're telling me now when I'm drafting and I'm putting together a team, I draft Mosley. I draft Maudie. I draft Jones. Okay. Now, those guys are off the board. Okay, now I look at a Manti Te'o. Sure I do. But if you give me my three picks of linebackers, those are the three guys I'm looking at. Okay?
Well, his draft stock definitely went down last night.
Well, you can get it back in a combine. And, you know, they'll put him on a watch and the whole thing. Believe me, you know, he put together a great year. Not just one night. There's too much stock. Oh, look what they did. No. Look, they got tape. The guy will interview tremendously for any team. He'll do great on the Wonderlic test. He will combine well. Okay, at that point, he will take, you know, his stock will be just fine. Right? Now, do I think there are better guys? Sure, I think there are better guys. I've always thought that there were better guys. I've said that all season long. And again, I am splitting hairs to tell you whom I think might be a little bit better, splitting hairs over an outstanding linebacker. Now, Brent Musburger did something last night that not even Kevin would do at a Shikellamy-Sealens Grove basketball game.
No.
You're a quarterback at Alabama. You see that lovely lady there? She does go to Auburn. I want to admit that. But she also, this Alabama, and that's A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, okay? And right there on the right is Dee Dee Bonner. That's A.J.'s mom. Wow, I'm telling you, quarterbacks, you get all the good-looking women. What a beautiful woman.
Wow, A.J.'s doing some things right down in
Tuscaloosa. So if you're a youngster in Alabama, start getting the football out and throw it around the backyard with Pop.
Start getting the football out and throwing around with some Pop.
Yeah. Okay.
I love that. That's
and that, that blew up on Twitter last night, did it?
Huge. Huge. Yeah. As a matter of fact, she
missed it.
She added 40,000 followers to her personal Twitter feed at that point. And she was just standing.
Including LeBron James.
And she was just standing in the stands.
Including LeBron James.
I don't doubt it.
No, that's true. I know you're surprised I know of this, but I do know.
It's not frightening.
And A.J. McCarron did not get a tweet from LeBron James. I don't understand this universe. I don't understand this social media thing. I don't get it. I know you want me to be on it, so I go on there and I tweet before the game. John Butler tripped and fell in second. Craig Fitzgerald took off shirt and warm up at Purdue.
No, those are boring. I don't want to hear those.
Then what do you want to hear?
Well, like I mentioned to you during one of the breaks, I was enjoying the tweets Jack Arut was doing. Jack Arut was, you know, commenting on the game, giving his analysis on the game. That's what I looked at it for last night.
Yes, but I'm on the air at the time.
Well, that's not my fault.
I'm already giving analysis of the game. Now you want me to write it down for you? No. I know you think it would be a very popular thing if I did that, don't you?
Well, I think it would be popular. I think most of the folks listening to this broadcast that know you would be frightened by it.
And justifiably so. Dave, sorry. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steve.
How are you today, Dave?
Okay, did you have a grand and glorious day yesterday?
Yes, I did. Thank you so much. Yes, grand and glorious. I got about 300 birthday wishes on email yesterday. So that was to everybody who sent me one yesterday through Facebook, which then gets to my email. Thank you very much. It meant more to me than you would know. So thank you.
Well, that's why I thought I'd do that as opposed to the birthday.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Dave. Very kind of you.
Steve turned 39 for the 14th time.
I turned 55 yesterday.
What's up with Brent Musburger? Is he needing medicine or something?
Well, look, first of all, this is set up by the producer and the director.
Okay.
All right? You have to understand how the chain of command works in television. And I do a segment in my broadcasting class called Television versus Radio. In radio, you take care of everything. You're the graphics, you're the clock, you paint the picture, okay? You do all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. In TV, you have graphics, and the director is in charge of the cameras, and the producer is in charge of the announcers. Obviously, somebody in the truck said, hey, I think we ought to do something on Kate Beckinsale or whatever her name is, okay?
Catherine
Miss,
Webb.
Miss Alabama, Catherine Webb, all
okay.
right? And so the director says, great, yeah, I'll frame you up a shot that will show the McCarron and Webb families together. Okay, great. All right, Brent, Kirk, look, we got AJ's girlfriend and we got his mom on camera. Let her rip. And at that point, they said what they said, which you heard, and Brent probably went a little overboard. And
Kirk was looking for the nearest door to get out.
But you know what? Kirk participated.
Yes, he did.
He did, but it was an awkward one for him. You could tell he was awkward saying something.
He didn't run away from it.
No, you're right. You're right. But he had no idea what to say and just kind of ran with it for a few minutes and then bailed.
Yeah, he didn't know whether to wind his watch or throw at a cat.
Yeah. Well, I know how Herb Street feels. I've done this show for a year.
Life on a shoestring, huh?
Life on a—that's what this show is, Dave. Life on a shoestring. All right, Dave. It's great to hear from you.
Well, I said I'll let you go. Listen, you know, many time caller, many time listener.
Stealing the Bill O'Brien lines for the show.
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks.
Have a good day.
You too. Our number 1-800-795-9565 in the Hillsworth General Store hotline. If you'd like to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. As I said earlier, they could have played that game in South Bend, Monterey Peninsula, Tuscaloosa, Miami, or on the grounds of the Vatican. Alabama would have won all 10.
You know,
it just wasn't pretty.
I want to go back. Yesterday we had John Furrier talking about the potential knee injury or what
RG3.
The extent of RG3, right.
Yep. Yeah, the
somebody mentioned something to me today, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this. The field did not look like it was in the best shape in Washington for that game.
No, it wasn't.
And I wonder, and the comment was to me, how much do you think that might have played into the injury?
Usually when you hurt your knee, a lot of times it's because your leg gets stuck. You know what I mean? You plant and it's caught, somebody hits you and you're caught. That field had so much give to it. I mean, you can hurt yourself by slipping on it and hyperextending it, but I'm not so sure the field had a lot to do with it.
I mean, it didn't look good. The field did not look good.
Yeah, but the field was giving, though. That's my point.
Right.
I mean, so if you have give, that doesn't put as much pressure on the joint because of the give. It doesn't put as much pressure on the ligament. It doesn't put as much pressure on cartilage. Now, you may sprain it because you get caught in a certain way. But usually when you have serious knee injuries, it is because in a plant, the leg gets caught in a certain way. And it happens on grass fields. Look, I saw Michael Motti's first – I saw all three of Michael Motti's knee injuries, okay? The first one he got, he was on the 8-yard line in a scrimmage at Beaver Stadium. Okay, it was in the south end zone. That's where it was. And he was, nobody touched him. He went to plant and it gave. I don't know. I remember Sean Lee. Sean Lee's was jumping up in the air, covering a pass over the middle and coming down weird on it in Huluba Hall. Pete Macero's second one was a plant and pivot, and nobody touched him. So,
well, according to the Washington Post, the MRI of the right knee potentially shows at least partial tears of two ligaments.
Yeah, the LCL and the ACL.
And, of course, he tore the ACL on the same knee back in 2009.
Right.
And now, this is a question I probably should have asked Dr. Furrier yesterday, but in your experience, Steve, around these injuries, is it more common to have an injury in the same knee after having one repaired?
No. For example, Motti's first two were opposite knees. I think Macero's were opposite knees. It's just... it's just bad luck, usually surgically repaired once you get going again, especially after 2 years, is actually stronger. It's like I talked about, with Strasburg, because of the rehab he had to do on that elbow to get himself back, and after Tommy John surgery, usually the area, the muscles around it compensate in such a way you're actually stronger in that area. So I'm interested to see, for example, John Lackey. John Lackey's back this year for the Red Sox coming off Tommy John. I'm wondering, he might be stronger than he was before. So, no, I have not really seen very often where a second injury occurs and it occurs in the same knee. It's not that I've never seen it happen, because I have, but... No, it's not. It's not an absolute. Oh yeah, you heard it again. Nah, sometimes it's the other one. So, but I'm a sportscaster. I only play a doctor on the radio. All right. Number 1-800-795-9565. Hillshire's General Store Hotline. Hillshire's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence for WKOK's On the Mark program. Tomorrow morning, we'll finish our gun control conversation, and we'll have open phones. It's on the Mark, 8:30 to 10 a.m. on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Little Phil. Great to have you on board this afternoon here on News Radio 1070 WKOK as SJS rolls on. Our thanks to Tom Deanhart, who was with us in the second half hour today. Tomorrow we're going to have Tony Knopp on the NHL lockout coming to a close, and John Marks, who does talk in Philadelphia on 97.5, The Fanatic. Thursday, Neil Riddell, Altoona Mirror, who has covered Penn State football longer than anyone, except for Fran Fisher. Adam Amin from ESPN on the NFL. Friday, Guy Cipriano, Center Daily Times. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, and someone who breaks down film and can give us, I don't think, any better insight that we're going to get on the NFL playoffs this weekend than Greg Cosell of NFL Films. That is our lineup for the rest of the week. Next week, we'll take care of next week when we get to it. It's only Tuesday. Next week, we are having Tim Brando on. I think next week's the week we're also getting Patrick McEnroe on. So Tim Brando, Patrick McEnroe next week. Tim Brando, of course, on the college basketball and college football seasons. As Tim will put a bow on the football season, but then talk about college basketball. And also we'll look back on the 1993 Penn State-Indiana basketball game. The double overtime loss, and recall that Timmy B called on TV while I was calling it on radio. And then Patrick McEnroe will join us from Melbourne on the Australian Open next week.
What time will it be between 3 and 5 in Melbourne?
They're 14 hours ahead.
Is it 14? Okay.
Yeah.
So you're probably about 4 or 5 in the afternoon of the following day. Or no, 4 or 5 in the morning of the following
day. Yeah, 4 or 5 in the morning. But they got to be at work, so. You know, we'll get it done.
All right.
Dion, yeah, we'll get it done. But he'll be on. P-Mac will be on next week, and before the month is out, we're getting Jim Delaney on. There's been a lot going on with the BCS. There's been a lot going on with expansion. Thus, the ability to get him on late last month or early this month has been extremely difficult because his schedule is bogged down. But Scott Chipman from the Big Ten has told me directly. He says, no, Jim wants to do your show. He says that is not an issue. He says just what day we carve out for him to do it. He says he's anxious to do it.
Got an interesting photo. Jason on our Facebook page always has some interesting comments and shares some photos, and somebody doctored a photo of the stairway at Notre Dame Stadium, and the sign on the wall says, play like Alabama today.
Well, I don't doubt that.
That's cute, though.
I mean, look, I give Brian Kelly and his team a lot of credit for going through the season, all right, and winning every game and getting to the national championship. Under the current system, okay, they belonged in the championship game based on how the current system works, all right? So that's not the issue. All right? That's not the issue here. When they get to the semifinal thing, and they would have made the semifinals, you will have a better championship game. Because you're going to have two teams playing that are now in rhythm. Because they will have only played, I don't know, pick, 7 to 9 days earlier. Okay? Depending on the day of the week. All right? When January 1st or December 31st happens to be. You're going to have a better championship game.
We didn't mention this before, but I thought it was another one of the, you know, really interesting moments of the national championship broadcast. The halftime interview. I don't know if you got a chance to see that, Steve, or not.
Brian Kelly?
Yeah, when asked about the second half, he said maybe Alabama doesn't come back.
Yeah, well, here's one for you. Maybe you should have your team better prepared, because they did not look like they were prepared at all. I mean, they did things in last night's game. I told you offensively, why attack D. Milner? What genius came up with that? I could have gone into the meeting room as a novice and told them you don't go at 28.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Kevin wants instant replay now on illegal shifts.
No. Listen, I see both sides of this argument, but I have to admit, in watching the muffed punt call and the halo rule interference call last night, I have to wonder if maybe it might not be a bad idea to look at certain calls to see if they are penalties. Because when it plays at full speed,
We'll be there all night. Did you want to stay longer for that?
No,
last night?
That's true.
Did you want to stay longer than that?
I am not a proponent of looking at every single play that way. I was just thinking of a halo rule. This is one that you could look at in full speed and it looks completely different, which is what I saw last night watching the replay. It was definitely a halo rule violation, but the player was pushed
into
it.
And you also look at the replay, and off in the right-hand corner you see holding.
And that's where I would not go to that extreme. I understand that, and I would not go to that
extreme. You can't do
it
with penalties. You can't do it with penalties. You can't. It has to be simple things such as, did ball cross goal line? And that, you know, based on my experience this past season, that's not perfect either. Was foot in bounds? Does he have control of the ball? Was it a fumble? Was the knee on the ground? Things like that. I mean, basic stuff like that. Just like in basketball, was the ball tipped out of bounds and off of whom?
I am in no way saying that that call, one way or another, impacted the game. Not saying that at all. I just thought that was the wrong call in that particular case, and I think replay would have shown that otherwise.
Look, the only call in that game that delayed the inevitable was Alabama winning the toss and electing to receive. Why do I sense Notre Dame? Did Notre Dame win the toss last night and defer?
No, I don't think so.
Alabama won the toss and won the ball?
No, I don't. Well, you know what? By that point, I had zoned out so much, I can't remember. Let me see if I can find that out.
It doesn't matter.
It matters to me.
Okay, fine. It's just... It's 2 years in a row, it's been an absolute rout. I mean, it's been an absolute rout.
Notre Dame won the toss.
And they elected to defer? even from the get-go, they made one bad decision after another. I'd have deferred as well, just so you know. But, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and Notre Dame fans don't like me saying this, but I'm not changing my tune here, okay? I have said for years, Notre Dame's biggest problem is they don't have the volume of athletes that the elite teams have, that they don't have enough team speed in certain spots.
Why is that?
Okay.
I mean, it's Notre Dame. You would think that that would be one way you can recruit somebody.
See, but that's your problem. Notre Dame is not looked at the way you look at Notre Dame.
The magic's gone.
Okay, an 18-year-old does not look at Notre Dame the same way they looked at Notre Dame in 1975 and 1985. Okay, it's not like that. Okay, they haven't been very good for a long time. You got to remember, Notre Dame won, what, one bowl game in the last 12? Or two in the last 12, something like that. Some number like that. And the problem is they've been able to do a better job over time of getting better athletes, but the collection of them is not enough yet to match up with an Alabama. The collection is not quite. And, you know, you saw, for example, you knew their secondary is depleted just by the NFL draft. The NFL draft depleted their secondary, and they did a great job of rebuilding that this year. But the total collection of athletes, for the most part, Brian Kelly had been putting his best athletes on offense. Okay? He'd gone that direction. Let's go to Mike in Winfield. How are you, Mike?
I'm good. Steve?
Yeah, what's on your mind, Mike?
Okay, this is strictly hypothetical because it's never going to happen. The outcome of last night's game, if they played it 2 weeks after the regular season or after the championship game, you think there's a different outcome?
No, I think, in fact, the score is the same. I just think Alabama is just that much better than Notre Dame.
Okay.
My opinion, I just think the disparity of the athlete on the field and the inexperience at quarterback for Notre Dame did not help them. Their game plan didn't help them either. I mean, they did not give that kid the best chance to win.
No. And what you were just saying about the disparity between the quality of players at Alabama versus Notre Dame, I was watching an interview over the weekend with Steve Spurrier, and he said in the NFL, the worst team this year gets the first pick next year. The best team this year gets the first four or five picks next year.
Right.
So they just continually feed the pipeline, and, you know, unless there's major changes at the university, it doesn't change a whole lot.
No, it doesn't, and he's right about that. You know, for example, Kansas City ended up with the worst record in the NFL. They're going to have the first pick for Andy Reid. Alabama's right. Looking at some of the top talent in the country, and they're all saying, I can't wait to go there.
Right. So I guess SEC just continues on.
They do continue on, and that's to their credit. Now, it's not completely impregnable, because look at what Louisville did to Florida. Louisville took Florida, and they took them apart. For the most part, Nebraska went toe-to-toe pretty well with Georgia. Georgia won the game, and they won the game by two touchdowns. But for the most part, Nebraska went toe-to-toe with them for a long period of time. LSU lost to Clemson. So it's not completely. Clemson beat LSU. Now, I have to admit, the Clemson-LSU game may have been the poorest coach bowl game I've ever seen in my life. The fourth quarter was almost comical to watch.
Yeah.
Between Dabo Swinney and Les Miles. I sat back and went, what the heck? These guys are making millions to make these decisions? What? Okay. But Florida blown out by Louisville. So the SEC, which has been the premier conference for 7 years with seven straight national champions, also got it handed to them among their top teams a couple times. Although Texas A&M look great, and that's why I would rank them third in the country.
Yeah.
In the country.
Right.
I mean, they went to Tuscaloosa, and they beat them in Tuscaloosa late in the season, not in September.
Right. The Nebraska meltdown in the last 5 minutes of the game, you think it was just fatigue?
That's a really good question. because Nebraska actually have been the opposite this year, Mike. Nebraska
had
actually been
the strong in the second half.
Right. They were the team that all year long in the fourth quarter came up with answers. I think this is a case where just Georgia is superior. And I'll tell you what, the one guy that was a big problem for Nebraska, and that was Jones, the linebacker. Because his speed is so superior at linebacker, he's one of the few linebackers in the country because of his speed that negated the speed of Taylor Martinez.
Yeah.
And that made a big difference. Martinez could not make a play with his legs for like 20, 30 yards like he did, for example, against Wisconsin, because this guy could run him down. And that made a big difference and took an element away from Nebraska that really was a difference maker for them all season.
Well, we'll just cool up and try it again next year.
Yeah, let's go do it again next year, Michael. It's a lot of fun. 2 years from now will be really a lot of fun because I think the semifinal is going to add a completely different element to this, and you're going to have two teams going into the championship game off wins that will have a relatively decent time to prepare and not have a month. And I think you'll get a better quality game because they'll be more in rhythm.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's all about money, so they're going to stretch it out as long as they can.
Yeah.
But to watch a truly good game, 2 weeks max, and you get a better game than going a month.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. But last night, if they had played the week after the USC game, Alabama would have beaten them 42-14. Because Alabama is just a better football team than Notre Dame.
Yeah, Mr. Saban has his act together.
Yeah, you know what the odd thing is? At Michigan State, he didn't. D'Antonio's done a better job at Michigan State than Saban did.
Yeah, well.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, look, talent makes all the difference. Saban goes down to LSU, gets the talent, wins the championship. He goes to the Dolphins for 2 years. He doesn't have the talent. They don't go anywhere. He goes to Alabama, gets carte blanche, and guess what? He has a dynasty.
He has a football culture in Alabama.
Oh, it's a nasty
mouthwash. I didn't throw that word out, but
Mike,
hey,
that's a nasty phrase, Mike.
Have a good evening.
Mike, thanks so much. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Notre Dame 2-10 in their last 12 bowl games.
Right, beat Miami and Hawaii in the Sun Bowl and the Hawaii Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that dates back to the, 94 Fiesta Bowl.
Right. That means that's the first bowl loss from Brian Kelly. So he's done a good job of preparing his team to play in bowl games. He was 2-0. He'd been 2-0 in bowl games. So that's his first bowl game loss. I mean, Penn State handed Les Miles his first bowl game loss.
You know, Mike brought up an interesting question there. I wanted to, what is it with the SEC? Why is the SEC the power that it is right now and appears to be getting even more powerful thanks to a couple of teams coming into the SEC?
Look at the natural recruiting areas. You know, the population shift in this country has shifted south.
I didn't really look at it that way, but that makes sense.
I mean, you look at it just in everyday life. Look at the recent election. The recent election, the number of electoral votes that you see in Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi, whatever, in Texas, southern states, as opposed to the fact that, take Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has lost every 10 years a congressperson because of the population shift. So Pennsylvania doesn't have the electoral votes they used to have. More electoral votes are now in the South. That's why the infamous Richard Nixon decision that hurt Penn State in 1969 when the Texas-Arkansas winner was declared the national champion. You know what was behind that, don't you?
No, that one I don't remember.
Bud Wilkinson was the head of the president's physical fitness organization.
President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports.
Yeah. Yeah. Bud Wilkinson was the former Oklahoma coach and then briefly with the St. Louis Cardinals, too. And President Nixon's advisors you know, here it is, 1969. He's, what, 9 months, 10 months into his term? And they're already thinking about re-election, even at that stage. You know, of course, you know, President Obama was thinking about re-election on January 21st, which we've noticed for the last almost 4 years now. Okay, that's just the way presidents operate. They have to think about what the next term is. So you kind of play your cards in a certain way. It's part of politics. Well, the president's advisors, along with Bud Wilkinson, came up with what is called the Southern Strategy. The Southern Strategy was, look, the Republican Party can get into the South, and if they can lock up all these states, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, Arkansas, you know, right? There's enough electoral votes there to blunt a Democratic victory, for example, in California, or to blunt a Democratic victory in New York. It's called the Southern Strategy. And Bud Wilkinson said a way that he could endear himself to Southern, to the people of the South, was that to take the Texas-Arkansas winner and declare them the national champion and present the national championship trophy to them right after the game on TV. That's what it was all about. Now, Hugh Scott was the senator from Pennsylvania at the time, and Hugh Scott went absolutely ballistic and through the roof, and justifiably so, because of what it meant to an undefeated Penn State. But that's what's behind. You talk about today. That's what's behind it today. The population has shifted south. All right.
So it's a migration issue.
It's a migration issue. That's where the population is. And for example, I mean, when you look at the South and what they can do. I mean, they can get high schoolers out on a spring, you know, for spring practice and have spring practices. They can do that. How difficult is it here in the spring to get something going? You know, you can work on it far more often. And not only that, you know, the athletes in the South, and the ability to want to stay closer to home is certainly evident. That's why, for example, and I made the statement on the pregame show for Purdue. Purdue had 20 players on their team from Florida. You know that?
No, 20 players.
Yeah, but a lot of people think that going into Florida is the magic bullet. Look, by the time Florida and Florida State and Alabama, Miami to a certain extent.
You're picking what's left.
Right. Well, exactly. Now, there's a depth of talent in Florida. Don't get me wrong. There is. But why is, and I say this with all due respect to a great university, okay, that's had a good football program, not great over the years. Purdue's been good, not great. But why do you want, if you have a choice between playing Florida in Gainesville or going to Purdue, where are you going to go? Why do I want to go from Florida to a place with a foot of snow? Unless that's my best option. There's just been a population shift. And you look at the population shift, I'm trying to think, A.J. McCarron was going to go to Oklahoma. And then changed to Alabama. Okay? You know, things like that happen. I mean, Purdue, who's the best quarterback Purdue's ever had?
Oh, I don't know.
Drew Brees.
Okay. All right.
Yep. He's from Texas. I mean, that's where they had to go to get him. Texas. And he wasn't the biggest guy and, you know, and so forth. So he just, you know, he didn't match the prototype. But again, that's where you have to go. Oklahoma's been successful for years, not because there's a depth of talent in Oklahoma, but because they recruit Texas. All right? And this has been apparent in this shift now, going all the way back to the late 60s, and that's why I brought up President Nixon's Southern Strategy of 1969. Because even in politics, they knew the population was shifting south. Well, in college football, it's been shifting south. The ACC hasn't taken very good advantage of it, but the SEC has. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK to this. All right, as you're driving down towards Shamokin, go crazy, people. Go crazy.
Well, All right. I heard that last night on ESPN going into a commercial break, and I thought, wow, Some Nights by Fun. That's an interesting song. And then I thought about the lyrics. Well, some nights I wish that this all would end. And I'm thinking, well, that's probably what Notre Dame's feeling right about now in this game. So I thought maybe it was a little more appropriate.
They couldn't get on the plane fast enough. Tonight, high school basketball. Kevin on the road tonight, 7 o'clock start. Shikalimi plays at Shamokin tonight.
That's right. The Braves, after a win over the weekend or over Friday, still undefeated in Heartland Conference play. They're going to try and keep that going as they take on Shamokin. Chris Zimmerman and the Indians struggling a little bit this year. A little bit younger team than we've seen in the past, but Zimmerman doing a great job taking over for Joe Claibon, the legendary coach at Shamokin. And Joe, if you're listening, we'll miss you tonight. It would be a little bit weird not talking to you, but had some illnesses over the last couple of seasons and decided to step down and made one of his standout basketball players and one of his standout point guards take over, Chris Zimmerman. So it'll be good to see Chris again tonight.
Yep, that'll be tonight. And that is at 7 o'clock. Deion Barnes, by the way, made the freshman All-American team. That is some football player right there. And that's something that you saw it last year. You saw it on the practice field. You're like, this kid's going to be good. All right? And he is good. He is good. Tomorrow on Yonder Show, Tony Dopp from Los Angeles on the NHL lockout, finally coming to a close. Skating at a pond near you. John Marks tomorrow. 97.5, the Fanatic in Philadelphia joins us. Thursday, Neil Riddell, Altoona Mirror, Adam Amin from ESPN. Friday, Guy Cipriano, Center Daily Times. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Greg Cosell from NFL Films. I think I've finally convinced Greg to do an NFL Films version of Shikalimi football with your play-by-play.
That'd be great. I'm looking forward to that.
That he says he has to run it by his bosses.
Oh, that should be a no-brainer then. They'll do it in a minute.
In fact, I think they're saying that's how long it's going to be.
I'll take that. That's a minute longer than I expected to get from NFL Films in my career.
Yeah. By the way, ESPN's apologized for Brent Musburger's comments.
No way, really?
Yes, they have.
That's funny. Right.
ESPN issues apology about Catherine Webb and Dede Bonner. Yeah. 40,000 followers now on Twitter.